Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been spending our time considering missions, and we started out talking about worldwide missions and how we can be involved in the lives of individuals and the lives of different ministries throughout the entire earth. Last week we talked about missions within our community, which, if you remember, we kind of talked about the greater Grand Rapids area as our community, and certainly respect those who live in other places and would consider different areas your more locale community. But we just talked about the importance of being involved within our community physically, community there. This week we're going to talk about our missions and our work, our missions within our realm of influence. So it's our community, but not as much geographical, although certainly it would include our neighbors, but more those who we are involved with within our lives. So people that we work with, our relatives, people that we do live by, individuals that we cross paths with. This may even include friends of ours, maybe friends that we've had for a long time, who don't live geographically in our area. With Facebook and MySpace and all these different online communities, we're able to keep contact, pretty close contact, with individuals who live miles away. You might even talk to them more now than you did when they lived just down the street. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, Paul here talks about our ministry and the work of God within us as individuals and within us corporately. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. It says, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." Here we find Paul saying, I'm not really important in this. God is the one who is important in this. I have a responsibility and I do it, but I'm not the one who causes all things to occur in the world. Right? Paul says, I have a responsibility, Apollos has a responsibility, and we do those things, but ultimately God is the one who brings the blessing. Ultimately God is the one who brings the growth. Now when he talks about planting the seed and watering it, this is within the idea, he uses this as an illustration, to talk about the way that we bless individuals, the way that we meet the needs that are in their lives. I think specifically it's about sharing that gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And how we are able to plant a seed of thought, a seed of truth. We're able to plant that at one time in our lives, and we might not be the ones who see that seed grow to fullness. We might not be the ones who are able to bring them to a point of conversion and belief in Jesus Christ. Maybe we're not there when they turn their hearts and their lives over to God, but we have a responsibility to plant that seed. Or maybe we have a responsibility to water that seed, to continue that growth, to be involved in that, but ultimately God's the one who brings that growth. Amen? We're on the same page with that one? We have the responsibility, and so even though we don't always see the results for the way that we minister to other people, we're still able to minister to other people. We're still able to meet their needs, maybe physically, to meet their needs spiritually, emotionally. We're still able to plant that seed or maybe water that seed or be involved in that cultivation of the ground. We're still able to do those things, but God is the one that brings that growth. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged when you seem to plant the seed and plant the seed and plant the seed and you never have the harvest. Don't be discouraged about that. Our responsibility is to do that which the Lord has called us to. That brings in then an interesting area for us, those who are within our realm of influence, those who are around us, those who we see on a regular basis, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. We have then been put in the place that we are by God's purpose and design to outreach in that place. It's not by chance or circumstance. It's not that you just love the house and so that's where you live. But rather that God has put you in the place that you are for His purpose, for His work in your life. So you have the family you do, the friends that you do, the co-workers that you do, the neighbors that you do. You've been put in that place for God's purposes. You've been put at that place at this time for God's work in your life. Let's look to the Old Testament and see a couple of examples where we see this truth being confirmed and supported. Go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. So if you find Exodus chapter 1, you're really close, because Genesis only has 50 chapters. Genesis chapter 50. I feel really leashed by having to stay right here with the microphone. I feel really leashed not being able to walk away. But for recording purposes, I'm going to stay right here. I'll stay put. If I start to wander, just get back to the microphone, you. Genesis chapter 50. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. It's talking about Joseph. Joseph's going to be speaking here. If you happen to remember, Joseph was a favorite son to his father. He was one of 12. His brothers didn't like him. They were pretty jealous of him, and so they sold him as a slave. They were actually going to kill him, but they ended up sparing his life and selling him as a slave. He had all these wild, wacky adventures. You probably have a good sitcom nowadays about all the things that he went through. He ended up in jail. He was a servant. Through God's direction and blessing, he was able to interpret dreams that individuals had had. And so at this point, Joseph is second in command in Egypt. He went through all of this garbage. He went through all this stuff in his life. But God put him at that place for a purpose. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, Joseph says to his brothers, who had come to him not knowing that he was there, but they came to seek food because there was a great famine. They came to seek food, and they didn't know that this man who's in charge of things is their brother, because they hadn't seen him in years. Joseph says to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph's in a position, in a situation where he went through a lot of garbage in his life. He faced a lot of trials and struggles, and it started with his brothers selling him into slavery. They intended to harm him. Their design and desire was for his life to be miserable. They were going to kill him. That was their plan originally. They were going to kill him. That was what they desired. They intended harm into his life. But God was able to work out of that good. God was able to work out of all that garbage and all that junk that he had gone through. God was able to work that out for good, so that Joseph could be in a position where he brought salvation, if you will. He brought life to his family, because they were starving. There was a famine, and they would have died without help. So what his brothers intended for harm, God intended and worked out and designed for good. Joseph was put in that position for a purpose. He was put in that position of being second in command to bring wholeness and life to his family. Let's look at another example. Go to Esther, the book of Esther. Esther is after Ezra and Nehemiah, right before Job. Esther was an Israelite woman who ended up by some form of maybe a beauty pageant type scenario, ended up being the queen. It's an interesting story. You really should read through Esther. It's not a story. It's an account of something true that happened. But read through Esther and see the things that had happened there. In Esther chapter 4, there was a plot. Esther's the queen, and there was a plot by the second in command of Media Persia and this nation where she was. there was a plot by the second in command named Haman to wipe out all of the Israelites, to kill them. Well, Esther was an Israelite herself. And she didn't know if she should be talking to the king or not, because that wasn't kind of the thing that queens did back then. But her cousin Mordecai had shared with her some wisdom in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. He said, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" Who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this? Mordecai is saying, God has put you in this place for a purpose. God has brought you to this place so that he could work mightily and wonderfully through you. Who knows but that God has put you in this place for a purpose? So the place that we are in our lives isn't circumstance. It's not just that's the way the chips fell. But rather that we are in the place that we are in our lives so that God is able to work through us to be able to touch the lives of others. Think of your next door neighbor. Okay, you thinking about your next door neighbor? Anybody have the same next door neighbor as any other family who's here today? We don't, do we? In fact, our next door neighbors, some of them live miles and miles apart. You see, and so Donna isn't able to minister to Marion's next door neighbor. And Fred's not able to minister to Dan's next door neighbor. You have been put in the place where you are put so that you are able to touch the lives of others around you. I can't do it for you, and everybody else here can't do it for you. We can encourage you and build you up and give you strength and encouragement. We can pray for you in your ministry. But God has put you in that place that you are able to touch the lives of people around you. You probably have family members that are different than other people's family members who are here. Maybe once in a while they get mixed in together, but you probably have different family than everybody else here. Right? You see where we are here? You see where we are? God has us in the place that we are, that we are able to make an impact in the lives of people around us. And if we aren't planting the seed, and if we aren't watering the seed, if we're not doing the thing that Paul and Apollos had done, then that seed is going unwatered and it's going unplanted. We still hold it in our hands, just ready to throw it out. But if we're not doing anything with it, then we're just holding it in our hands. It's not going to be planted, and it's not going to grow. God has put you in the place with the friends and family and neighbors and coworkers, and he has put you in the place that you are, that you are able to reach out to people around you, that you are able to make an impact in their lives. Let's talk for a minute, thinking and considering the church body here at North Kent. Go to Acts chapter 2, back to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says, "They," and that "they" is the early church, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Here it talks about the body of believers. It talks about the church meeting the needs of the church, that they were together, that they were concerned about each other, that they sometimes sold their possessions and goods to be able to bless other people in their times of need. We're in a position here at North Kent where we are not unsusceptible. What's a good word for unsusceptible? We're not unsusceptible to the issues of life that our community is facing. We're in a position where we are looking at our companies and the places where we work and saying things are definitely different than where they were a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago, wherever it is. We face the same kinds of struggles that individuals in our area and in our community face. Now, we can choose to react differently than others do, but we face those same things. That means within the body, there are going to be needs and our needs that sometimes come up. Correct? There are needs that arise within our body. Right now, we can think about financial needs that may be pressing, but in our lives, we face issues and struggles where there are needs in our lives, whether it be emotional needs, spiritual needs. We experience the death of others around us the same way that individuals who aren't yet Christians also face. See, we face the stuff of life. As a church body, then, as a body of believers, we ought to have the same mindset as the early church had. To be devoted to each other. To be able to share the needs that are there with each other. Not be embarrassed or say, well, I don't want to say anything because they might whatever. Be able to share the needs that are there, but then as a body of believers, to be able to help meet those needs as well. Amen? Am I the only one that thinks that way? It talks about them selling their possessions and goods and sharing with those who had need. You see, we can be involved in world missions and we can pray for a certain ministry or send money to a certain ministry that does work in other continents. We can be involved in local missions and donate time and efforts and stuff that we have to local missions, pray for those situations and pray for those ministries. But we have a responsibility to the body of believers here at North Kent. To the body of believers worldwide, we have a responsibility to each other, and we ought to have our hearts aligned and committed to each other to be able to be in a position that when needs arise, we're able to help as well. Fred this morning talked about having a closed fist on the resources that God blesses us with, having a closed fist on those things and saying, God, thanks for these things that you've given to me. I'm going to make sure that I take care of them real well. And then it goes into our pocket, right? But being able to have a mentality and a mindset where we are connected to each other enough to be able to help in times of need. Where we are connected with each other enough to be able to support each other in the issues of life that we face. Not only physically, not only in giving stuff, but spiritually and supporting each other as we together minister in our realms of influence, where we together are involved and maybe you're involved with your neighbor, but for us to be supportive of that, linked to each other, praying for each other, concerned for each other, spreading the seeds, watering the seeds, and meeting needs around us. Amen? Amen. Let's think maybe a little bit even more personally than that. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talk about our realm of influence and one place where we typically do not share the same realm of influences within our families. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5 verses 3 through 8. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul speaks pretty strongly and pointedly here, doesn't he? He talks about our ministry to our own families. He talks about our ministry to our own families, to individuals in our lives who, in our own families, who are widows, meeting the needs of our immediate family, being sure that we practice our faith there as well. Families, I don't know. Is there anything I need to say about families? Aren't families a tremendous blessing? Aren't they a pain in the neck sometimes? It's easy. It's easy with families to have broken relationships. Ones that with friends we would mend quickly, but with families we maybe harbor resentment. We know everything that our family does wrong. We sometimes hold that against them. So where maybe we help others in need, we hold the judgment bar a little higher for our family because we know, well, you screwed up. When you were 8, you pushed me down the steps. Or even as they get older and they make different mistakes, make different choices. As family, maybe we hold them a little bit more critically than we do others. And so rather than supporting and helping our family in times of need, we just kind of, well, we'll let them take care of themselves because they learned the same way we did. They learned the same way that I did. We have a responsibility as believers in Christ to be able to help and minister to our family as well. Maybe religion is just one thing. Well, we're just going to keep that off the table. We're not ever going to talk about our faith because we don't want to offend, you know, Uncle whoever. We don't want to bring any kind of offense to him or to this person. So we're just going to leave. We're going to leave religion, and we'll probably leave politics off the table around Thanksgiving dinner. You see, we have a responsibility to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with cranky Uncle whoever. We have that responsibility because God has put us in that family to be able to reach that family. God has put us in that place at this time to be able to minister to them. And sometimes that means physically ministering to them through needs that they have in their lives and being able to pour out the blessings that God has blessed you with. And sometimes it means spiritually sowing those seeds of truth and love to them as well about Jesus Christ. Too often we're a little bit too closed to sharing with family because of past experiences, because of weird relationships that we share with them, or because we don't want to bring any kind of offense. Whatever the reason, we're just a little bit closed with family sometimes. And Paul tells Timothy, this should not be. This should not be. We have a responsibility to our families to care for them when there are times of need, to meet the needs that they have and help them through that, to be able to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ as well. We have a responsibility to our families, and it's not one of closure and saying, well, we'll just let them fend for themselves because fill in the blank of whatever reason you've used in the past. But rather for us to realize and recognize and understand that like Joseph was put in a certain place for a certain time, like Esther was put in a certain place for a certain time, that we too have the family that we have, and we have a responsibility to them to be able to minister to them, to plant that seed, to water that seed, to share with them the truth of Jesus Christ. Gets a little personal when we talk about family, doesn't it? It's a little personal when we talk about family. But the word makes it clear that we have a responsibility to family as well. We can't ignore those who are close to us. We have a realm of influence, and we ought to be using that for good, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. About 5 or 6 books before 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy. So we want to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 6. It says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Physically, we can see this in practice as we think about sowing physical seeds into the ground and the crop that they produce. Verse 7, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, 'He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Now, as we read through these verses, many times I think we think our focus is on us giving. That the focus of these verses is on us giving, because it talks about planting and reaping, it talks about us sowing and receiving. The point of this is praise and glory to God. The point of this scripture text is that God would be thanked for all that he has done. Now, it talks about something that we are able to do in that as we do sow generously, as we do plant generously, as we do give generously, then God blesses that and us in that, and that by his laws of things, he blesses our lives even physically. But that isn't for us to have more, but for us to be able to give more. So we don't give with the intent of receiving from God so that we can have more. But rather, we give to God because we desire to. And he blesses that. And that's not for us to have more. It's for us to be able to give more. But ultimately, all of the giving and all of the receiving and everything that is done ought to result in the praise and thanks to God our Father. Amen? That is the goal and the desire of all of this idea of sowing generously and reaping generously. This is not a teaching about money. This is a teaching about giving thanks to God. That's the ultimate purpose and the ultimate plan. It's not for getting more. This isn't a quick, get-rich-quick scheme. This is about giving thanks to God and being able to bless other people and praise God in way of doing so. We had an opportunity as a church body to be able to give recently, and in all of the giving, a quick letter went out which the focus and goal and desire of the giving and the letter was all that God would be praised and thanked. It's all about him. And so in our lives, as we are purposeful in giving, as we are purposeful in giving, and not only financially, but of our time, giving of our hearts to other people, as we are purposeful in giving, the goal isn't so that we can have more friends or that our friends will like us more. The goal isn't so that we'll have more stuff. The goal is that God would be praised, that lives would be changed, which result in the glory and praise to God. Amen? And so as we consider missions within our own realm of influence, as we consider our own personal family, as we consider our neighbors, as we consider those people around us, our friends, those people that are unique probably to us compared to everybody else in this room, as we consider that, we then have the ability to be able to bless those individuals. And too often we get so busy with other stuff And too often we get so focused on things other than God and His mission that those people that are closest to us get overlooked by us. So maybe we bring in food for the North Kent Service Center and we give money to World Vision and we do these things, but those who are closest to us, where we have the ability to be able to plant the seed, water the seed, we overlook. We shouldn't do one without the other, not either way. We shouldn't only do those who are close to us and ignore anybody else. We shouldn't only do those that are easier and farther away so we don't have to consume ourselves with them to the lack of those who are closest to us. But rather in considering missions, in considering us having a heart that longs for others, that longs for going into all the world and preaching the good news, that longs for loving God and loving others, as we consider our heart in that, we have to be at a point and a place where we are able to do that within our own realm of influence as well. We need to be at a point where we're able to minister to those who are within our family, those who are within our neighborhoods, those who are close to our hearts. And all of it to the praise of God. And all of it for His glory. And all of it that He would be thanked by the recipient, by the giver, that God would be praised, that He would be all in all. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You for the way that You work in our lives and that indeed You are able to work through where we are to bless other people. God, sometimes we make choices that put us in the place that we are, and You're still able to use us at this time, at this place, to be able to minister to others. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your work in our lives. We give You praise for the blessings that You have poured out into our lives. Father, help us then to be able to hold our hands open to those around us, blessing them emotionally and physically and spiritually, blessing them with Your love in their lives. God, give us wisdom and understanding. Give us discipline that we're able to follow Your call as well. Father, we thank You and give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.